Welcome to the podcast service of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Visit us online at massclimateaction.net or friend us on Facebook.
What was that?
That was my car saying hello.
And who are you?
Hi, I'm Rob Garrity.
The esteemed co-host of the Climate Minute for many, many episodes?
Yes, the heretofore or erstwhile or some other adjective like that.
Well, great to see you. So where are... So this is Ted McIntyre. We're sitting in a Nissan Leaf, which is the property of Rob Garrity. And we were going to take a test ride.
Let's take a little spin.
Take a spin. So I've got my foot on the brake. I just pressed the power button.
Mm-hmm.
That cute little noise was the car turning on. So, Rob, tell me, what's on the dashboard in front of me? What am I looking at?
So, you've got a really advanced display here, Ted. It's like a fighter plane. So, right in front of you is the MPH, the miles mm-hmm. per hour. You know, a little clock there, the ungodly temperature outside.
14 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yep. It's got this little half circle of lights over on the left. And that's going to show your trees. As you drive along, you're going to be building trees. I think Nissan wanted to add some interactive gaming for today's generation. So
there'd be a little image of a tree that shows up
Yeah,
there?
it'll build from the bottom up, and eventually you'll have three or four trees, and you're saving the environment. So,
okay.
You know. But and down below, what you see is a little display of a battery.
Right in the middle of this dashboard, it says 42% now with a... Looks like a gas pump with an electric plug on it.
Yep, right? So that's how much juice we got. And over on the right, there's something that many Leaf owners affectionately call the guessometer.
And it's right now showing 35 miles, sort of, it looks like almost like a bird's wing. Mm-hmm. And that's what, the range?
That's how much range you have.
Okay.
The left-hand side is the temperature of the battery. Now, what you're going to do with that information, I have no idea.
But generally speaking, warmer is better for batteries.
Yes, it likes the warmth. And then along the top is the acceleration. That shows you how hard the engine's working.
Okay.
And if we're lucky, we'll actually go into the green, which is backwards, which means we're generating power.
Oh, okay. All right. So that's a sort of an arc of circles.
Yep.
Right? Across the top of the display.
Yeah, under relaxed driving, you're going to be using two or three of those circles.
Okay, and here on the steering wheel, I've got sort of the radio controls, cruise control, stuff like that, right?
Yep.
Okay-do.
So pretty much a routine car these days. It's got the navigation system, which has all sorts of little gewgaws that show your energy usage, if you're into that sort of thing.
Yeah. Which you can watch as you drive.
Yeah, it's kind of tempting to sit there and watch it.
Yeah.
So
this is basically sort of a 6-inch by 4-inch little display.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of cars probably have nowadays, right?
Yep.
Super.
And it has, for navigation, it's got special features that'll show you the closest charging stations, for instance, which is very important if you have an electric car.
Yes, and there's one at the local supermarket. And I am getting this delightful feeling that my seat is warming up.
Oh, yes.
I don't have a seat heater in my car.
Yeah, your seat heater's turned on.
That is wonderful. Yeah. That is wonderful. All right, so should I begin to drive?
Sure. So, you got to put it in reverse.
First of all, I got to look and make sure there's nobody behind me here outside the Pink and Orange Coffee Shop. But how do I put it in reverse?
So, you see this little mouse-like thing right here?
Wow, yep.
Yeah, the gear shift is a little knob. And you're going to pull it over to the right, left, and push it forward for reverse.
No, why? Okay. So now, where do I find my gear? Oh, I see the reverse.
Yep, there's the R right there.
All right.
So if you'll...
And this person just climbed in the car next to us. Give her a chance. All right, and I think I don't see anybody behind us. We're going to start to... I see brake lights back there.
Yeah.
I don't want to back your car into somebody else's car room.
That'd probably be a bad start. No, I think she's parking.
Okay.
I think we can go. And you've got that beeping noise. I don't know if that's being picked up on the tape, but...
Oh, an external beeping noise?
Yes.
We're moving, but there's no sound, Rob.
That's an electric car for you.
0 miles an hour is recording, and we just, wait a minute.
Wow. See, we made no noise, so that person didn't even know we were going anywhere. Oh, and you figured out how to go and drive.
Well, this Excellent. Is that's similar to my Prius, which for some strange reason, now, can you turn on the haze on the window because it's so cold outside? Now,
there we go, and your range just went down 5 miles.
Because of the demand of the
heater and AC, because it's a new car, so they. They throw both things at you when you're trying to defrost. They dehumidify the air with an AC.
I'm slowly getting the hang of this, Rob. And it's wonderful.
So, kind of like a gas car.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's, of course, completely quiet, which yep. is pretty cool. So have you run into issues like the woman in the car next to us that started to back out because we were so silently rolling away? Do you find that an issue?
I haven't found it so much because the Leaf does make certain noises. They've programmed in a little noise when you're moving forward that sounds a little bit... You can't really hear it inside the car, but from the outside, it's kind of a whooshing, humming noise. Uh-huh. The early versions of the Leaf had a really obnoxious kind of wah, wah, wah noise, and I think they took that off. But under, I think it's 19 miles an hour, maybe, that shows up.
Uh-huh.
And then you've got the backup noise, which my neighbors just adore when I'm leaving for work at 5:30 in the morning.
With the windows clear, you can turn off the AC and save your battery.
And we just picked up 4 miles of charge. There you go.
So I'm looking. I see 3 dots on the acceleration meter, yeah. or the accelerometer. But that's labeled power.
So as we ease out here, take your foot off the gas for a sec and hit that eco button that you saw.
Okay.
And now gas it up again. Feel any change there?
Yeah, is this off? Eco's off now?
So eco's off. We dropped 2 miles on the little guess-o-meter.
I know, I understand. Okay, so explain that. That's more fun than I wanted to.
So the eco, instead of changing the way the motor actually works, it does this really interesting thing where there's a servo, a little motor, which pushes against your foot on the accelerator.
It resists your foot pressure.
Yeah, so you are forced to drive more efficiently. Electric cars love calm, steady as she goes, kind of, they don't like herky-jerky movements.
But I'm going to do a herky-jerky movement here and go from, holy mackerel.
Yeah.
That does really...
And there was a pleasant little whooshing turbine noise.
I'm giggling about the fact that when you hit, you press the what would you call the gas, or the accelerator, the thing really takes off. Yeah. I mean, you can really feel your head kind of snap back.
Yeah, my son, actually, when I pick him up from high school, if we've got a new guy, a person who hasn't been in the electric before, he always whispers over me, hit the eco button, Dad, and when we get to the light, it takes off, and it puts you in the back of your seat. It's a lot of fun.
That is great. And so you presumably drive all the time with the virtuous eco button on, right?
I absolutely do, and many times I drive in what's called the B mode, which is the extra regenerative braking mode. It's normally regenerative on regenerative braking. But they have a different mode, which you do by snapping back the thing again, as
eco,
you didn't drive.
I'm going to hit eco again, right?
Yep, so hit eco.
Whoops.
It's right next to the horn. But
Did
then
I hit eco?
It's in eco, yeah.
It's in eco now, okay.
But you can also, if you hit the shifter as if you're going into drive, if you hit that again, it goes into B mode, which turns up the regenerative braking aspects.
And how does it, turn up meaning it...
It becomes more regenerative braking. So if you drive
along, what do you sacrifice by doing that?
You annoy the people behind you because you actually slow down when you're going down a hill.
Ah, okay.
Because your car is generating electricity. Let's take a right over. You can take it at the light there. So we're going to take a right into our local neighborhood supermarket, which has a charger.
Interesting. And the steering wheel, of course, for anyone listening, it's very cold outside, but the steering wheel is nice and warm, and the seat is nice and warm, so everything's good. Let me come in here. Ah, yes.
Oh, there's people in the charging spaces.
Really?
Well, actually, no, he's outside the charging space. Okay. There you go. I was worried that the guy in the Jeep Cherokee thought he had an electric Jeep Cherokee. I'm pretty sure he doesn't. So if you can, hit that first one. Or second one. The second charger. I don't think that works.
The second charger. You want the first charger,
yeah,
right?
We want the first charger.
So there's a little sign that says electric vehicle parking only. There's a thing that looks a lot like a parking meter, right? And on it, it says charge point. That must be the company, right?
Yep. Yeah, so this is an older one. This is an older charger, and it has, to go into park, you just press the little P
press
button
the
there.
Park, and then do I want to turn it off?
Well, you can turn it off, leave it on. It's not using any juice other than the displays. So this is an older charge point, which it has one of the gun-like things that we're used to seeing. You actually mentioned...
Right, the written specification was labeled J1776.
Yes.
So that's typically called the J1776 connector. It looks like a gun almost.
Yep.
In many ways, it looks like a gasoline nozzle.
It does. Right? So. Yeah. But this one also has, you see how that panel has a number one on it?
Yep.
That actually flips up, and that has a normal outlet in it.
Oh, really? Like an AC plug, plug-in.
Yeah, because in the back of the car, I've got an adapter, or I've got a JT776 hooked up to, which is attached to a normal plug. So I can plug it into my house, I can plug it into, any electricity I can scavenge. So do you want to go outside?
Yeah, let's go take a look.
So you do have to turn the car off.
I'm going to hit this button.
And you want to hit that little button over there next to the button with auto on it, the one that looks like gas...
Right,
to the right,
off.
To the right.
Oh, to the right. Okay, gotta hit that. Oh, that what enables charging or something?
That pops my little charger door open.
That's the equivalent of the gas cap.
Yep. Yeah. So the Leaf charges right from the front. And in the middle front, there's a little panel that lifts up.
Right at the nose of the car.
Right at the nose, right? Yeah.
And then, so, can I take this thing out?
I gotta, use my little ChargePoint card here.
Which you got with an account from ChargePoint, right?
Yep. So it is hooked up to my savings account, but this particular grocery store doesn't charge you for charging, so it's all free. So I plug in, and it made a little beep, and the little lights on the dashboard tell me it's charging up.
Yeah, you take this, I'm going to take a picture of this thing.
All right. Now, you see, Ted, there's the normal charger spot, and then there's this bigger circle next to it.
Yeah.
That's a hole or a space for the high speed charger, which I don't have.
Right.
But the Leaf also comes with a high speed DC charger, which can get you 80% of a charge in 20 minutes. So we're taking a picture of the thing right now, and I'm dressed in my Sunday best. So the normal discharger, it's called the level 2.
Uh-huh.
If the car is absolutely dead, it'll charge it full in about 4 hours. But you don't want to ever get to absolutely dead.
Right.
That's an important thing about electric cars, is you really have to sort of change your way of doing things and scavenge. You know, always live. It's almost like living off the land. When you find electricity, charge up.
Let's get back.
Let's get inside.
Right, so just in case that was too noisy, say that again.
So the key to an electric car is charging when you can. Never let your... You don't want to let yourself get down to... A low amount, like with a gas car, you know, you'll go until you're down near to the E, until the light goes on.
Right.
You don't want to do that with an electric car, first of all, because they're few and far between, the charging opportunities.
Right.
It's getting better, but still, particularly around here, there's not a lot where we live. The second thing is, because there is a time involved in charging that you don't get with gasoline.
The duration of the charging is longer.
Yeah.
Than you don't just, fill up your gas tank in 3 minutes.
Right? Even the high-speed babies, it takes about 20 minutes.
Uh-huh.
This
uh-huh.
charger, as I was saying, would take 4 hours if I was down to nothing. But we'll sit here if we sat here for 10 minutes, we'd get probably 2 kilowatts, maybe, 2 kilowatts worth of charge, which the way we drive, or the way I'm driving, I'll get about 8 or 9 miles out of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's a 10-minute for 8 or 9 miles. There's a really interesting video on the web of Tesla And their new technology, they've got these battery switch-out technologies. So you drive into this thing that looks like a gas station, actually unbolts your battery from the bottom and puts in a new one. Like kind of like Blue Rhino.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it takes less time than filling up a car.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Interesting.
In the time they took to fill an Audi, one Audi worth of gas, they had two batteries changed over. So that's the future. That's not what we have with the Nissan Leaf.
So shall we, you want to go uncharge this? Anything else to comment on? I mean, this is all marvelously entertaining.
Well, we can talk about the finances a little when I come back in.
Okay, let's, as we drive back to the Pink and Orange coffee shop, just let that roll. And for anyone listening, I'll edit out these little gaps later on. So Rob is in the process of disconnecting the J1776 connector and putting it back into the charging station. And here he is.
All right. So just let's get our seatbelts on because we're good doobies. Now the Leaf has a charger lock on it, so I could have pressed that button that says lock.
Yep.
And it would have not let me take in the charger off until unlocked it.
Right.
So that stops, you know, your sneaky neighbor from pulling your charger out at the parking lot and charging his car and saying, tough, buddy. not all cars have that. The Ford Focus I use at work, which is an electric, doesn't have the lock. It's a neat feature, though. So let's start her up.
Let me start her up. Let's hit that musical tone again.
In just a couple of minutes, we picked up, it seems to be, 2 or 3 miles.
Cool. All right, let me see if I remember this. I'm going to go into reverse.
Yeah.
And I'm good to go. I don't have any brake on. There's nobody behind me. And I'm snaking our way out of this parking lot.
So
that roar of the engine is great.
Yeah, it's funny. There was a Kevin James movie a couple of years ago where one of the side issues was Kevin James and I think it was Adam Sandler, but I'm not sure. They were trying to create a noise for an electric car. That was their job. And because Vince Vaughn. These cars don't make any noise.
No, you can hear the wheels turning.
Yeah.
Right, that's about it.
Yep. And there are actual statistics on pedestrian hits by electric cars. It's an issue. That's why I think in the next couple of years you'll see the federal government requiring a low speed noise out of all electrics.
Uh-huh.
But Audi is working on an electric car, and theirs is a supercar. Right? I think it's an A8 or something. It's their high end. And they're adding a vroom vroom noise to theirs. So they're taking sound from actual internal combustion engines.
And we'll basically have an MP3 player in the hood that's bright.
So I think the future is, you know, J.C. Whitney, you ever hear of that J.C. Whitney catalog? It's like you can buy all these aftermarket parts for your cars.
Okay, yeah.
I think in 10 years we'll be buying MP3 files so I can have any noise I want in my low-speed noise.
I can make my electric car sound like a Harley-Davidson?
Yeah, or the Starship Enterprise or a Lion. I think that'd be really cool. You roll up to a stop sign growling. So... But it's a little chilly in here. If we turn on the heat,
okay.
We just lost 6 miles of range. That's the big problem that I've had with electric cars so far,
uh-huh.
is the heat is a killer on your battery.
Pretty much air conditioning in summer.
Yeah, it seems the air conditioning wasn't as bad.
Uh-huh.
Now, it could be I went through part of the summer with my air conditioner not working.
Okay.
But it seems the heat has been really a dramatic one. So... Good.
Well, what do you think is the is there a solution for that? What would you recommend that I guess this Nissan Leaf, the engineers at Nissan do about that?
Well, my dentist suggested a wood stove. I don't think that's a good one. I don't know. You got to think these guys will figure things. These folks will figure things out. But maybe infrared heating or something like that. Some other low E heat source. Because right now they use resistance heating and just blow a fan over it.
Right. And I mean, I drive a Prius, and it does not have the heated seat or the heated steering wheel, but that seems like a pretty efficient way to make you feel better.
Yeah, wear 2 pairs of socks and use the heated seat.
Get a nice set of driving gloves.
So this thing, this was the base. This is the base model. It's the S. Okay. It's their basic one. It's a 2013. It doesn't have the backup camera, which all the new ones do. Right. So you get a basic Leaf nowadays, it'll have the backup camera. But it did have the navigation in it. And it comes with the heated seats. That's a standard thing, the heated steering wheel. The keyless entry, which is a revelation to me. Now, as you know, Ted, my former car was a 2001 Saturn, which had power nothing. Crank windows and locks you had to press down. This keyless entry thing is just, it's a godsend. I'm in love with it.
Well, I find in the Prius that I have a key fob, keyless entry, mm-hmm. and I either leave the key in the car and forget it. Or, you know, it's a strange thing. I'm sort of used to it now, but the other morning I came out and I woke up and heard a sound in the garage and went out and looked, and the Prius was sitting there running. And evidently I had not taken the key fob out and I put it in park and failed to turn it off. So the thing had sat there all night, oscillating between being on and being off just to keep the battery up. But you were telling me before, to go back to the question of heating, that it's possible to connect the car in your garage and pre-program it to heat the car from the house power.
Yep, so if it's plugged in, it'll use plug power to heat it up. So you can set it, you can either set it on a timer to do the same thing every day, or I can go on my smartphone and turn on the heat, turn on the climate control.
So that when you come out in the morning, you're ready to depart, it's taking the
nice
power.
Nice and toasty.
Essentially from the charging, whatever the charging port is.
Yep.
Right, and heated the car up.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So this base model S, nowadays it's $28,000 or thereabouts, at $29,000. And the federal government gives you a $7,500 tax credit.
Okay.
And the state of Massachusetts, and several other states are doing similar programs, but the state of Massachusetts has what's called the More EV program, MOR-EV.org, I think. You can Google that. And you get a $2,500 rebate from them.
Wow.
So it's really $10,000 off a $30,000 car, brought it down to $20,000. And for $20,000, I'm getting a car with navigation and heated seats and a CD player and Bluetooth, and it automatically hooks to my phone and all that sort of nonsense.
And keyless entry.
Keyless entry, baby. A lot of stuff.
That's great. So, I mean, we're not shilling for Nissan here. What other companies? I mean, I, of course, Tesla is the most beautiful one,
yes.
Right? And that's rather high-end, and it's got an extended range.
Yeah, that's right? A 300-range car, 300-mile range car.
300-mile range car, and a $100,000 sort of price tag.
Well, you can...
$60,000, $70,000?
Yeah, I think you can get into them for $70,000+, their normal car. Although they say they're doing... a sedan version, which will end up somewhere in the 30 to 40 range.
Uh-huh.
Ford has the Ford Focus Electric,
okay,
which they just cut the price on that by $6,000 down to
$30,000.
Uh-huh. So it's a $30,000 car again, same price point as the Leaf. And the Focus Electric is the performance of that car is very impressive. We have one of those at work.
I mean, in terms of acceleration?
In terms of go. Kind of, yeah. It goes like a bat out of heck, and it turns well. It corners. It's got great handling characteristics. It's not a purpose-made electric, so you suffer in the cargo area.
All right.
That's where they pump their battery. The battery in the Nissan is under the back seats and under the floor,
right.
Which has a really nice weight distribution. So we've had a little bit of snow here the last couple of weeks, and I haven't had any problems with traction.
Yeah.
It performs very well. So there's that. There's the Ford. There's Ford is now doing a couple of plug-in electric hybrids,
right.
Like the C-Max.
Yep.
And
just go back to the mm-hmm. between the Tesla and the Nissan and the Ford. I mean, the Tesla has a very long range. How does it organize that? I mean, how do you get that? How do you get that much range where, say, this car doesn't have it?
Yep. I think it's the type and number of batteries you're using. And the number of batteries you're using directly impacts on the price.
Uh-huh.
So if we were going to shove another...
Oh.
Yeah, the battery on this car is probably $8,000 worth of the value of the car.
Right.
So if you wanted to double the range, you'd spend another $8,000, which would bring you up to a $40,000 car.
So it's basically a price point kind of
argument. Yeah, exactly. And also, the Tesla is a very big car.
Uh-huh.
So
it's got more space.
It's got more space, but they need more batteries to move it. The smart car has a very...
Yeah, it's a little tiny...
Toaster of a vehicle.
Right.
And that thing will get you 70 miles of range, but it has a much smaller battery pack than I have.
Because it's light.
It's a very light car.
It's a trade-off of weight versus power.
Yeah, you're always playing a trade-off. With everything, there's a trade-off. With gas, with internal combustion engines, there's a trade-off.
Yep, same thing.
My gas station is now my house. And I've got no transmission, so no transmission fluid, no oil, no... there is a radiator in the car, actually, to cool down.
To cool the electric motor.
I think it's actually for the AC. I think it's a large AC radiator.
Okay, all right. Yep.
I believe. Uh-huh. But I don't have... the brakes will last much longer. Because with regenerative braking, what happens is the engine is actually braking before the physical brakes do. Your physical brakes only come on at the really end.
The caliper brakes only come in when you... Whereas most of the... So there's less contact, there's less wear on the calipers.
They're supposed to last for 10 years.
Uh-huh.
Rather than 3 or 4 you get off a normal brake. So it's no muffler to fall off and drag on the ground. It's... I love the thing.
So I guess... I mean, this has been a wonderful, wonderful, fun thing to do, Rob. You just, I suppose, put the topper on it, right? You love it. You'd buy another one, I guess.
If you can deal with range anxiety,
right?
You know, if you can, this thing, at best case scenario, I'll get 90 miles off a charge on this thing. If you can deal with that, and if you can ride the lightning, and you're driving down the street, and the range-o-meter says 4 miles left, and you're 5 miles from your target. If you can deal with that, it's telling that the accessories they give you with the car, not many accessories, but one of them, I'm reaching into the glove box, is a tow hook. So, this is for when I run out of juice. Oh, and Nissan gives you an 800 number to call, which is EV no gas, which I think they meant, you know, electric vehicles don't have to run on gas. To me, it means EV is out of gas. But that hasn't happened yet, knock on expansive knock on plastic dash.
Super. Well, Rob, thank you very much for giving us this opportunity to see the future.
It's been fun for me too, Ted.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Climate Hawks Companion.